Well, hello. Today I'm just wanting to explain to you and share with you a little bit about the trumpet call vision and the trumpet call journey. And it's a journey that's been ongoing now since the early 1960s. So, you know, around 50 years, which is a long time. So I'm going to try and do this as succinctly as possible. So there'll be lots of things that probably need developing and explaining further, but I'm just going to try and give you a potted history to put things in context for you today. In the early 1960s, Ruth Bussell, who's been our leader for many, many years until her death last year, had a vision from God about Nottingham being a city of God, a place of refuge, a house of prayer for all nations. And from Jeremiah 33, verse 9, he said to Ruth that this will be a city that brings him renown, honour and praise before all the nations. And this took Ruth on a journey of developing a relationship with God and hearing from him his plan and purpose for the city and his strategy of prayer for the city of Nottingham. So this started with the Lord saying, OK, divide the land into seven parts. And what those seven parts were, well, not geographical areas, which is what we initially thought they might be, but things like law and order and politics, education, the church, health and social services, media, business and commerce. And he gave us a strategy for prayer, which involved meeting for breakfasts regularly to pray and to praise over the gates and over the walls of our city. He also showed us that around these seven areas was a ribbon, tying them all together and sort of tying the city up, as it were. And these seven areas were tied by this ribbon of Freemasonry. And God showed us a strategy for this. And he said to us that, like the soprano sings a high note that shatters a glass, so as we entered into high praise, he would shatter these strongholds in the life of the city, this stronghold of Freemasonry. So we spent the next couple of years really focusing on praising God. And he showed us that it's him that comes to do the battle. It's him that will defeat the enemy as we praise him. So we had decades of strategic prayer for the city. We set up prayer camps on the walls of the city as he told us to pray for the north, south, east and west. And from Ezekiel, he said to set up siege ramps and besiege the city with prayer and with praise. And this all really culminated in March 2000 in a great millennium celebration in the heart of our city, where there were marches of Christians coming from the north, south, east and west into the market square, where there was a coronation anthem written and there were trumpets sounding and Jesus was declared as the Lord of our city and crowned as king. And the city was given to God. And then in Easter of that year, we had a celebration at Nottingham Castle and we raised a flag, a banner on the flagpole that said that Jesus is Lord and this is his city. And we were made aware that in the history of England, that whoever ruled and reigned at the Nottingham Castle reigned and ruled in the nation. And we felt that as that banner was being raised over the city, it wasn't just for our city alone, but it was also for the nation. So we continued to journey, praying at the gates of the city, at the north, south, east and west. And then in around 2003, we really felt God was telling us that there was a shift in the way that he wanted us to pray for the city, and that he had a new order to introduce, a new way of doing things. So what he got us to do was to lay down all the prayer breakfasts and all the task forces, all the ways that we were currently doing things, because he told us from Nehemiah 4 that it was time for him to sound the trumpet and to gather us together in one place on the walls of the city, that he was restoring his kingdom order and that this was going to be a journey of intimacy, of identity and authority, that the initial step was around him restoring that relationship with us that had been lost in the garden when Adam sinned, Adam and Eve sinned. They lost that intimacy, that walk with God, and they lost the kingdom order. Now, Jesus restored all that when he died on the cross, but we had this strong sense that the Lord wanted to restore this to us in the way that he was going to come as ruler and king with his order in our city and in our lives. He said to us, "You have been gathering out the stones and you've been preparing a way for me to come, but now it's time for the boulders, that this is a job that I am going to do." So I want you to put down your old ways of doing things and come together. That this is going to be a journey of the restoration of my presence in the heart of the city. Like when Israel returned the Ark of the Covenant with David from the Philistines, they took three steps and they worshipped and there was sacrifice. And he said, this is going to be a journey of taking steps and bringing a sacrifice of restoring my presence into the heart of the city. So in 2005, we gathered together at St Mary's in Woolerton and we laid all the prayer breakfast down to meet together on the walls of the city. So the restoration of this order basically starts with us. And he is restoring this relationship of intimacy with us, out of which, as we move deeper into him and understand how he thinks about us and what he feels about us as the bride of Christ, that we develop our identity, we know who we are in him. And in knowing who we are, we can then stand in the authority that we have as his sons and daughters and as his bride, that we can be mantled with his authority, that we can extend the scepter of his rule, and that we can take our place to rule and reign with him, to see his order restored, to see his kingdom come. And when we meet together at Trumpet Call, we have a number of symbols around the room that we use just to help us understand something of this journey that we are on. So he reminded us again of the covenant relationship we have with him. We have the cross, which obviously is the ultimate sacrifice, the Lamb of God who paid the price. We have the table of communion, where he lays the feast of his presence out there for us to partake of, to move into that intimacy with him, that he is our everything, that he has done it all. We have a bowl, a wash bowl, which is full of water to symbolise the cleansing as we think about Psalm 24 and ascending the mountain of the Lord with a clean hands and a pure heart. We have that sense of needing to perhaps wash and cleanse ourselves, to move into his presence. And then we have a flame, which reminds us of, again, that cleanliness, that holiness, that he is holy and we need to be holy. The cleansing flame that just burns up all those traces of sin and the vestiges of self. And also that we can move into his presence to pray, set that fire in our hearts, Lord. Just consume us with a desire for you. And at the same time as we were moving together in one place, God also said to us, look, you know, this journey, you can't be doing it alone. Look to your borders. And so we looked to our borders and we'd already got some good relationships with Derby and Lincoln and Leicester. And over the last few years, those have come together. And so the Trumpet Call is not just about Nottingham, but it's about our whole region. And it's not just about one particular age group. It's about the generations. That Trumpet Call embraces children. And the Lord showed us the importance of including the children in all that we do and what they have to bring to us as a group. So we've got all ages from 0 to 92 represented in Trumpet Call meetings. So moving on to 2008, as we've been meeting regularly once a month, at least to worship and to praise and to respond to God's call. In 2008, God spoke to us in a new way around Revelation 4. And again, it was the sound of a trumpet, but it was his voice as the sound of a trumpet with the invitation to come up higher, that there is an open door in heaven, that he wants us to come up higher, to ascend to the throne room. First of all, in that place to see him, to see how beautiful he is, to see how radiant he is, to observe and behold his majesty and his splendour and his greatness, that he wants us to come up higher, to have deeper and greater revelations of who he is, and to join those angels around the throne room worshipping and praising him. That there was a sense of heaven and earth joining together in praise and in unison to see his kingdom come in heaven and on earth. So we have the Revelation 4 invitation to come up higher, to behold him in his beauty and his glory. But also out of that, he says, and I've got things I want to show you. There's things I want you to see. He wants us to see from a throne room perspective, from a kingdom perspective. He wants us to see the world from his eyes and not from our own earthly perspective. And that as we come up higher and as we see it from his perspective, we can speak out his plan and his purposes. We align our hearts and our thoughts with him so that when we speak what he is saying. We declare what he is saying for his kingdom to come. In 2009, God spoke to us even more strongly about the centrality of worship and praise in the heart of all that we do, because he is the one that inhabits the praise of his people. And it's only through his strength and his life and his power that his kingdom will be restored. And we had a sense of God birthing the tabernacle of David, of worship in our midst in 2009. And we really do, in all our meetings, focus on the centrality and the primacy of worship. That is always the place that we start. And in fact, it's the place that we stay. Because David ruled his kingdom from the tabernacle. His heart was in the presence of God. His heart was in being where God was. A day in your presence is far better to me than gold. And his kingdom was ruled from a place of receiving God's wisdom and God's strategies, of inquiring continually of the Lord. And that is where he wants us to be, and that's where we want to be. Ruth Bussell and I went to Windsor Castle in 2009, where we had the privilege of joining a group to pray for the monarchy. And I do remember that Ruth was particularly impressed by the changing of the guard. And that as we just stood there and we watched this happening that happens regularly at the castle, she had a strong sense that God was saying that there's a changing in guard over the nations, that the old guard is departing the scene and that there is a new guard coming into position, and that the old ways of doing things, even the ways of the world, are falling, but that the kingdom of God is rising. In 2010, we seem to be continuing in our season of God birthing things in our midst. And towards the end of 2010, in October, Ruth had been journeying with carrying something that I believe she'd been carrying for many years, that she birthed, and we felt it was the healing for the nations. And I think it's fair to say for us all that we're still very much journeying with what this means. But we had a sense that a new baby had been born into our midst and that we needed to watch over it. And so in order to do that, we increased the time together as a team that we worshipped and we praised, and we were meeting regularly together to lift up the name of Jesus over this baby, to welcome his kingdom purposes. And that really has continued. We did that for several months, and that really has continued to the present day, maybe in a slightly different way. But this principle of watching over in worship and of spending time in the presence of God. And it also gave birth to Knott's Prayer 24/7. And we've had a number now of what I suppose what you would call events, 24/7 or 24/1 or 24/10 events, as we focus on prayer and praise for our city and for the nation, and for watching over what God is doing. In early 2011, Ruth went to be with the Lord, and we very much have a sense that it is a seed that's gone into the ground. A mighty seed, and we're looking for an incredible, fruitful harvest from that seed. And so what now for Trumpet Call? Well, from 2011, as Ruth departed, we just had this sense that we needed to continue to meet together to worship, that we needed to wait on God because he was going to meet with us and he was going to show us the way forward. And we just found that in those times of meeting with God, that his presence was there. And he was opening up doors and doing things that we weren't even fully aware of what he was doing, but he was at work. And it was in those days that we did the 10 days of prayer for Global Day of Prayer. And there were, I think, more than 20 churches engaged in lifting up prayer and praise to God in our city in those 10 days. There were hundreds of hours of prayer released for our city at that time. And God was also showing us that through Esther, that through that place of intimacy, through the feasts that she prepared for her king, that she was given the authority, because of pleasing him, she was given the authority to rewrite the laws, to actually stand in the gap for her nation, and to turn the tide of evil against her nation, to see the salvation of God and the deliverance of God in a desperate situation. And we felt that this is what God was saying to us, that as we join him at the table he's prepared for us. And as we prepare a place for him and feast with him, that he will give us that ring of authority, and that he will give us the authority to rewrite the laws of the land in line with his kingdom order and his purposes, that the bride joins with the bridegroom to extend the scepter of his rule over the city and over the nation. And we are very conscious that we are on this continuing journey of intimacy with God. So the king is coming. And he's coming and he is preparing a bride without spot or wrinkle. And we continue to worship so that we pour ourselves out, so that we make room for him to come, so that we can be enlarged, to be filled with his presence, to be carriers of his presence in such a way that the overflow of the river of life will transform the situations, the society around us. That as we stand with him to declare his purposes, to sing his praises, his kingdom will come to bring his order and his rule and reign. That as we praise, we open up the gates of our city and of our region. We invite the King of Glory to come in with all his power, all his authority. And it's in that place that God can then pour out his Spirit in whatever way he wants to on the life of our city, that we might see his purposes established and his kingdom order restored. Thank you very much.